Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 9, Number 9. In the last edition of SNU, I explained why berries of every kind are good to eat and how eating them can save ourselves from infection, disease, and premature destruction. Berries are one of the true original survival foods. I eat them year-round in shakes and rely on them for their inherent multiple qualities that keep my genes well and functional. And that's what it's all about, people. It's about protecting your genes from damage. And I don't mean the kind that you wear. Okay, on this edition of SNU, I want to review an upcoming lecture I'm presenting in Vancouver this month called The 7 Nutritional Lies of the 21st Century. The title relates entirely to the art of deception and the notion of conspiracy. You bet. Food quality affects everyone because everyone has to eat, and what we eat obviously plays an enormous biological role in our health profile and our predisposition to disease and premature death. Essentially, our food supply has been hijacked by huge corporations hungry for profit. They have driven millions of farmers off their own land and work only with those willing to compromise and go into business with them. They demand from these farmers that they grow only a very small number of food crops, such as corn and soy, with heavy reliance on chemical fertilizers, insecticides, and pesticides for the single purpose of producing a massive amount of refined, sterile, and artificial food. It's no coincidence that this food also requires petroleum oil to produce. Now, most of this food is then fed to our food animals. The animals are not treated with respect or raised with their health or our health in mind. So it is these animals that end up on our plate, and it is the effects of eating these animals, which were fed the foods that have been genetically modified and grown for profit only. It is the impact of everything that I'm talking about here, the whole process. Animal health throughout every stage of their growth and development is absolutely essential to the production of high-quality animal food. We truly are what we eat. Now, vast amounts of empty-calorie, foodless food, packed full of salt, sugar, fat, and petroleum-derived chemicals produced by the industrial food complex, has become a serious threat to our health. Its production is destroying the ecology of the planet, ruining the topsoil of the land, interfering with biodiversity, and polluting our rivers, streams, and oceans. When consumed as a food staple, which hundreds of millions do, this processed PAP literally creates chaos and disease in the human body. The evidence lies in the prolific increase in the rates of obesity, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, and reproductive disorders that we can see all around us. And by the way, all these things are increasing at alarming rates. Deception means to misinform, trick, and mislead by means of fraud, false appearance, or statement. Conspiracy implies a treacherous plan formulated in secret. Deception and conspiracy go hand in hand. The state of our food is not an accident. It is a byproduct of a conspiracy against our health that produces enormous profit at our expense. In the last century, we were all set up through government policies, public health programs, or so-called nutrition research councils, media, and the public education system to believe that the food being manufactured and sold to us by a small number of very powerful multinational corporations and sold to the masses was good for us. The truth is, we've all been lied to, and we were fed these lies in the absence of being sustained with science-based objective education. A population educated in nutrition based on objective science and pure logic could never be misled in this manner. And this clearly explains why the public education system remains woefully deficient in nutrition, health, and fitness knowledge. The system itself has been carefully manipulated by government policy to safeguard the vested interests of corporations hungry for profit at the expense of our loved ones and children. Our children have never been fatter or sicker, nor have they been as pumped full of as much pharmaceutical drugs as in the history of humanity. Essentially, what we've got is people getting sick from eating the food supply. Then they need to go to doctors to treat the infections and chronic disease that's created by eating this food supply. They are given drugs to treat the symptoms. They continue to worsen. They continue to experience the disease. And eventually they come back for more treatment, and it gets more and more expensive because it starts to involve surgery and long-term hospital time, etc. So it is a circle of corruption that all begins at the beginning, at the level of the soil, farming, food, animals, and we being at the top of the food chain are suffering as a consequence of it. Cleverly constructed media hype, TV commercials, and propaganda continuously instill the false belief in us that white flour, sugar, and margarine are not only safe, but even beneficial to eat. But the sad fact is that all of this hype is absolute bullshit. The opposite is true. It's all a lie. And we have to stop buying it now. We have to stop buying into the bullshit. There is no replacement for fresh, whole food. When it comes to food, there is only one way to eat. We must consume a diet compatible with our genome. A genome with a fixed number of genes that developed over millions of years in response to the environment through adaptation and natural selection. Our genes are failing to sustain our functional health right before our eyes, but it's only because we are not bathing them in the right environment. And by right environment, I mean the air that we breathe, the water that we drink, and the food that we eat. Remember that nutrition is part of the environment. Now, I could have called this seminar the 7 million nutritional lies of the 21st century, because the number of lies we are told each day, combined with all those told in the past, is so vast, it's unimaginable, and it's really impossible to quantify. So I chose 7 examples just to make my point. But before we look at the 7 nutritional lies individually, there are 3 points I want to make. First, the Costanza Principle. When it comes to health and fitness, and especially nutrition, do the opposite of convention and you'll live longer with less disease. In episode 86 of Seinfeld, George Costanza discovers that all of his instincts and every decision he has ever made has been wrong. His life is the complete opposite of everything he wants it to be. So after some encouragement from Jerry, he decides to do the opposite, believing that this approach will give him the outcome that he really wants. So whatever conventional wisdom says to do in nutrition, do exactly the opposite and you will get exactly the same kind of results that George got when he took that same approach. When George did the opposite of everything that came naturally to him, he experienced nothing but success. Second, every sport in the world has a rule book. The rules are clearly defined in black and white and instruct the referees and players on how to play the game. The official rule book of Hockey Canada states the following as the purpose of the game. A meeting of two teams playing for a specific length of time for the purpose of declaring a winner through the scoring of goals. Rule number 84 on page 109 also states that the team scoring the greatest number of goals during the three 20-minute periods shall be the winner. Now, the point I want to make here is that the purpose of hockey is to score goals and play the game according to the rules. Winning is an effect, not a cause. In like manner, the purpose of playing life is to play the game according to the rules of science. The rules of logic and science of life as a sport dictate that we consume food for the purpose of efficient and elegant survival. It is illogical to consume food that causes injury, inflammation, chronic disease, and premature death. And the food that these corporations are producing cause injury, inflammation, chronic disease, and premature death. Third, go to any pet store and buy a bird or hamster. In the store, you will find an owner's manual for whatever species of animal you purchase, and in that manual, you will find a chapter on nutrition. In that section on nutrition, you'll be encouraged to feed the animal a diet based on a science supported by research. The book will encourage you not to feed your animal any junk or refined food, as well as reinforce the animal's diet with dietary supplements. Why? Why are we feeding ourselves a diet worse than what we feed our own animals? Why is it illegal to feed human food to zoo animals? The answer is that most human food is toxic and lacks any real scientific evidence to support its consumption. The diet we are eating is toxic and is creating widespread disease. It is as harmful as cigarette smoking, but unlike tobacco, we feed this toxic food to our infants and children. Can you imagine lining up a cigarette beside your child's cereal bowl in the morning and encouraging them to have a smoke morning, noon, and night? Well, that's what you're doing when you're feeding your kids this crap. You are encouraging them to consume toxic food that is going to ruin them. So let's have a look at the seven nutritional lies of the 21st century. Number one, the first lie is that commercial cow's milk is good for health, builds strong bones, and is a good source of calcium. The truth is, after we are weaned from the breast as mammals, milk is no longer required. Milk from different species of mammals contains different ratios of fats, proteins, and carbohydrates. So the milk that every species of mammal produces is not the same as every mammal. Human milk is the best milk for humans. Now, cow's milk, if we drink it, is much safer when we consume it in a raw, unpasteurized form. It's far more nutritious. Raw milk is better for cows, people, and the environment. Raw milk provides the body with powerful immunological factors, enzymes, and antimicrobial components. Raw milk should be consumed whole to retain all the natural fat-soluble vitamins. So don't drink skim or part-skim milk. It should be whole, it should be raw, and it should come from cows that are fed grass. Raw milk should come from pasture-raised, grass-fed, healthy cows, not feedlot cattle raised on CAFOs. CAFO is C-A-F-O. It stands for Concentrated Animal Feeding Operations. And these CAFOs use corn and soy and dead animals contaminated with their own excrement. Drinking commercial milk increases risk of diabetes because it decreases insulin sensitivity and ruins blood sugar health. Commercial milk acidifies the blood and actually causes a net loss of calcium. So it doesn't matter how much calcium's in the milk. It matters on what the net effect is on your body after you drink it. That's where the scam is. They focus on what you think milk is supposed to be or what you thought it was originally, and they try and retain that image so that you will be misled into consuming the newer version, the modern version, the toxic version. Lactose intolerance is widespread in those who drink pasteurized milk, but not normally an issue with raw milk drinkers. And finally, homogenized milk is associated with increased risk of arteriosclerosis. Number two, the second lie is that infant formula is better than breast milk and more convenient. The truth is that formula causes malnourishment and anemia in infants. Infant formula often contains toxic levels of iron. Iron in raw human breast milk is almost not present. It's very hard to identify. So when we drink milk from our mother at birth, we're getting a profile of milk that in the least should be copied exactly if we're going to manufacture something. But this stuff they call infant formula is so off the mark, it's bizarre. Remember, we're only thinking profit here, not health. Formulas contain oxidants created by the extraction of milk particles and isolates from milk. When it's extracted in the way that it is extracted in the presence of oxygen, the particles, when dried, begin to oxidize. And oxidation and exposure creates oxidants that damage our cells when it's consumed. Now, soy formulas cause allergies and increased risk of respiratory infection in infants, and most formulas are based on soy. Soy contains lectins known to suppress thyroid function. Soybeans contain large amounts of natural toxins or anti-nutrients that inhibit enzymes that block the action of enzymes needed for protein digestion. Infant formula is basically dead and acidic. It lacks many essential immune factors present in healthy human breast milk. Babies that drink formula have a higher incidence of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. Formula typically contains milk products, soy, sucrose, salt, and chemically modified fats. So is it any wonder that babies and infants that drink it have a higher rate of SIDS and allergies and are being set up for a lifetime of immune compromised issues? Number three, the third lie is that commercial breakfast cereals are the breakfast of champions. The truth is that cereal grains acidify the blood and increase the excretion rate of calcium. High-grain diets help make most people fat because of the excess glucose and its effect and influence on insulin chemistry. Most cereals are chemically constructed from wheat, rye, and barley, which contain gluten. Gluten is a well-known irritant to the human intestinal lining. Silent inflammation is well connected to wheat intake and all grains that contain gluten. Essentially, humans shouldn't even be consuming grains, and if they do, they should be gluten-free. In biological medicine, wheat and corn are considered toxic to many humans and are known to cause widespread chronic inflammation. Most cereal grains contain phytates that inhibit the absorption of zinc. Zinc deficiency is widespread. Why? Because of cereal consumption. Milled cereals are a significant cause of digestive problems and allergies. Refined grains cause malnourishment because they contain none of the original bran or germ. Processed grains are a significant cause of constipation, especially when combined with commercial cow's milk and refined sugar, which is typically how most kids eat them. Commercial breakfast cereals are typically high also in glycemic load. That means the overall impact of everything coming at you and its consequent effect on blood sugar and insulin response. This is because these cereals are high in carbohydrates and low in protein and fat. That means they can and often do increase risk of both diabetes and obesity. The fourth lie is that bread should be eaten as a staple for life. The truth is that bread is dead. It's that simple. Actually, it's much better to use fresh, raw fruits and vegetables as a primary source of carbohydrates in your diet. Commercial bread, the worst kind, is mostly refined salt and sugar. So when you have a piece of bread in your hand, just think of it as a lump of sugar and salt. And that's because all the energy or calories present in bread are primarily derived from carbohydrates, which ultimately is reduced into sugar, which is absorbed into the blood, and that's when you get into trouble. Now, bread is acidic. It's high in phosphorus. Typical sodium-potassium ratio of commercial bread is 10 to 1. That means there's 10 times more sodium than potassium. However, the natural kernel that the bread was derived from, that the flour came from, has 50 times more potassium. That's the natural state. All natural food is dominated by potassium. Any food that increases sodium intake above potassium ultimately could be classified as a carcinogen, because high sodium drives potassium out. It weakens the cells. It affects the immune system. We begin to over-acidify, and that makes us more prone to cancer, especially when we're not training and we have a continuously declining VO2 max. So we're not utilizing oxygen well simultaneous to the consumption of the bread. Now, bread is a very poor source of omega-3 fatty acids and often contains chemically modified fats and refined sugars. Always read the label. Whole grain bread is better than white, but whole grain bread still has no enzyme value, as baking, which is heat, inactivates enzymes. So everything that was originally in the raw grain, which you could in some cases sprout and eat raw, is lost in the baking process. Breads made from sodium-free sprouted grains, such as manna bread, are the best, but they're also not raw. Sprouted breads are much easier to digest and cause much less inflammation in the joints and intestinal tract. Bread should not be eaten as a primary source of dietary carbohydrates. Number five, the fifth lie is that refined sugar is natural and not related to diabetes. The truth is that if submitted today for FDA approval, refined sugar could never pass cellular toxicology screening tests. The question I ask also is, if it couldn't pass now, then why isn't it removed? Why aren't we told this truth? If something is discovered like tobacco is being toxic to consume, then why aren't we being told? And the answers are obvious, but they're complex. Refined sucrose and fructose are both cytotoxic and clastogenic. That means they hurt cells and they hurt the DNA and the nucleus inside the cells. Using sugar, refined sugar, sucrose, as a dietary staple elevates risk for all-cause mortality. Refined sugar leaches elements and trace minerals from the skeleton. It causes type 2 diabetes, obesity, and cancer. Constant use of sugar is associated with autoimmune disease, depression, and mental illness. Sugar is the gateway drug long before we start beginning to experiment with alcohol. The connection to drug addiction due to destruction of blood sugar and insulin stability is undeniable. Daily use of sugar definitely increases the incidence of colds, flus, and infections. Concentrated sources of sugar mixed with fat and sodium are associated with causing junk food addiction, food cravings, and impairment of mental health. Isolated and crystallized fructose produced from corn syrup is known to increase the buildup of uric acid, elevate triglycerides, and cause insulin to become less sensitive and functional. The outcome is anything but ideal. It's best to consume honey, raw honey, blackstrap molasses, and real maple syrup. Number six, the sixth lie is that margarine is a miracle. The truth is that eating margarine causes hardening of the arteries. Trans fatty acids in foods are being banned and controlled worldwide because scientists discovered they create carcinogens and act as powerful oxidizing agents. Trans fatty acids are produced during the chemical hydrogenation of plant oils. And these plant oils are cheap and base, and they're not grown organically. Margarine was created originally for convenience and profit, not health. Raw butter mixed with hemp or flaxseed oil is a far better and more logical choice. It is sustainable long term. Margarine is not. And that's the rule with food. If it can't sustain you for the long term, don't eat it. Raw butter heals and sustains the body with fat-soluble vitamins, including coenzyme Q10, A, D, E, and K. Raw butter from grass-fed dairy cattle is extremely nutritious. Ghee and clarified butter is also a much better alternative than margarine. Cholesterol in food is not a culprit, and that was one of the driving forces behind the notion of switching from butter to margarine. Of course, plant oils and plants have no cholesterol at all. Only animal fat contains cholesterol, and it was assumed because we identified cholesterol in blood and in clots that caused the cholesterol to build up and damage the artery wall. And now we know that that's not true. If you eliminate cholesterol out of your diet completely, you can barely even reduce cholesterol. What you need to do is reduce the sugar, reduce the white flour, and get fit and start eating some real foods, including foods that contain cholesterol. The trick is you don't damage the cholesterol by cooking and overcooking, because cholesterol is sensitive to oxidative damage from heat, light, and oxygen. So cholesterol also has antioxidants if consumed in the right form. It's refined sugar and trans fats when combined that cause so much damage. And usually people will put margarine on a piece of white bread, and there you have it. Refined sugar, salt, and bad fats. The worst combination, or you could say it's the best combination for doing the most amount of damage, causing people to have to go and seek medical treatment, which is how the circus works. Although margarine is no longer hydrogenated, the con still lies with the fact that unsaturated and polyunsaturated oils have to be altered and repositioned to achieve increased shelf life and remain solid at room temperature. I mean, take any plant oil like soy or pretty much any oil you can think of, and it's generally going to be liquid at room temperature. Now, if you hydrogenate or modify or chemically change the oil, it's going to have an effect, as in the keys will not fit into the biological locks. And so it might taste good, it might spread easily, but it's not a food that is acceptable for health. And finally, number seven. The seventh lie is that food alone provides us with everything we need. The truth is that food alone, no matter how organic, nutritious, or complete, has never supplied us with everything we need. Now, I'm talking about organic food, whole food, real food. And they're telling us that this crap that they produce that they call food is actually going to sustain us without any extra vitamin support. It is reinforced with synthetic vitamins and minerals, but only the minuscule amounts, and all of those are the least qualitative forms. The best forms of vitamins that you can take, added to the cleanest diet you can eat, combined with fitness, is the new scientific paradigm of life and health and sports nutrition. Now, the CHI Prime Directive is to supply individual biological demand. That's our goal. The trick is to learn how to do this and then begin the process immediately. It is the pharmaceutical drug industry and the drugs they manufacture that we really have to be cautious with. Never mind about toxicity of vitamins and fear associated with overdosing on vitamins. It's the drugs that are killing over 100,000 people per year. And these are people taking prescribed medication exactly as prescribed. They're not overdosing on the medication. Or you could say that any amount of it is an overdose, because for those people who died, they took the drugs as recommended and it killed them. And who is responsible? The people that take the drugs, or the people that prescribe them, or the people that manufacture them? I would say it's some kind of cyclical, sick, dysfunctional circle of dependency and ignorance and deception and a conspiracy. Now, vitamins are extremely useful preventing and treating scurvy and beriberi and pellagra and pernicious anemia and things like goiter. Excess amounts are generally voided. They do not collect inside the body as we've been misled that they do, or they do not cause a lot of the damage that we think that they might. In fact, megadose forms of vitamins are actually quite safe and can be used instead of most drugs to treat almost any disease or illness. Many vitamins and most minerals can be taken in special or megadose forms in amounts much greater than the DRI to prevent degenerative disease and treat existing pathologies. The DRI is the dietary reference intake. So here's just a tiny fraction of some of the great work that you can achieve by taking dietary supplements. In orthomolecular medicine, we discovered that niacin, taken with extremely large doses of vitamin C, zinc, B6, and EFAs, and when I mean extremely large doses, I mean that each one of these substances is related to the individual and their existing state. It's all carefully itemized according to the individual. There's no assembly line when you start getting into orthomolecular and functional medicine. We take people individually as they come. Now, Dr. Pauling and Dr. Rath discovered the connection between collagen erosion and heart disease, and that virtually all mammals produce vitamin C and increase its production under stress. Under stress, humans produce toxic metabolites from adrenaline in the absence of sufficient vitamin C. We can't manufacture vitamin C, and under stress, it creates an environment that's damaging to us. So it just makes so much sense based on logic and science and evidence that increasing your vitamin C intake on a daily basis to the point you're getting into 5 and 8 and 10 and 12 grams a day in powder, added to juice or protein shakes, or mixed in some kind of fluid is really the way to go. Now, let's keep in mind that supplements compensate for the decrease we all experience in organ reserve associated with aging. And they also compensate for the natural decrease that occurs in the internal production of many nutrients, such as creatine. As we age, we change. We experience more damage, more cellular damage. And so what the cell was able to do 20 years ago, it can't do any longer, or it can't do as efficiently, or it can't produce the net outcome that it did originally. So taking vitamins from the outside is the logical choice. It's the intelligent choice, and it's something that I will do until the day that I hit the wall. Now, we know that vitamin D is needed in much greater quantities than what was previously thought. In fact, the evidence is very strong that the amount previously recommended was far too low. So the RDA was wrong, and I experienced this myself. I remember starting out in the 70s in the health food stores and being told that I should be very cautious with vitamin A and vitamin D, especially vitamin D. Oh, that was really an iffy one, and we had to be very careful, maximum 400 units or milligrams per day. Now we know that that is wrong. They've upped the ante. The research is impossible to deny. But along the way and in the industry, our industry was pressured by Health Canada and the FDA to limit our recommendations. And I've seen this. There's another example. B12, folic acid, and B6 can now prevent heart disease by lowering blood homocysteine. We know that the principle of biochemical individuality proves there is no such thing as an average person. So the amount of B12, folic acid, and B6 needed by each individual, it is dependent on the individual themselves and their lifestyle and their medical history and their present state. So we can go on and on about the various great value and benefits of taking supplements. We could talk about how they're great for sports injuries and increasing performance. My goodness, I just couldn't imagine not taking my shakes. Every day for me, it's shake and take. I swallow my vitamins with my delicious, wonderful shakes. My favorite shake recipe, by the way, is filtered water, about a cup, 2 tablespoons of hemp seed oil, about 30 grams of hemp protein, about 30 grams of whey protein isolate, about 6 grams of creatine monohydrate if it's a post-workout shake, about 5 or 10 grams of glutamine, about 5 grams of ribose, a teaspoon of vitamin C powder. I use calcium ascorbate, a teaspoon of spirulina or chlorella powder, and then I add in a combination of fresh and frozen organic fruit. And that's where I get my carbs. So I get my fats from the oil, get my proteins as described, and I get my carbs from fresh, organic, high water volume, alkaline-forming fruit. Now, this is such a fast and simple way to improve nutrition that it's something that I recommend to everybody. As soon as an infant is old enough to hold a cup in their hand, they should be taking the shakes. That's what I did. That's how I raised my 3 children. And today they're healthy and lean and strong, and they're training and they're eating their natural health food. They're not dependent on the factory food. They're not eating a bunch of crap and garbage and getting into trouble. So there you go. The 7 nutritional lies of the 21st century have been told. The enemy has been exposed. So what can we do? What can we do individually to make a difference? I think the most important thing that you can do is to stop eating refined, dead, sterile, fractionated, and adulterated food. And never mind whether or not it supports the greed and the gluttony and the lust and the profit of the corporations. Never mind. Just don't eat it, because if you do, you're going to suffer. That's why you don't eat it. Use logic. Use science. We need to eat fresh, natural, whole food. Real food from land and seed. Food that is genetically compatible with our genome. So buy more food locally and spend time with your family preparing and eating food together. You know, like, go to the market, buy fresh food, spend time making the food. It's a labor of love. It's self-love. It's family love. A family that trains together and eats wholesome food together, lives longer together, experiences less disease, and suffers less together. Learn how to use fitness and nutrition as a science to maintain function and prolong your life. If you're fit and well-nourished, you won't need to depend on the disease management business our government calls the healthcare system. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Earl Nightingale, motivational speaker and the author of The Strangest Secret in the World. Whatever the great majority is doing under any given circumstance, if you'll do exactly the opposite, you'll probably never make another mistake as long as you live.